Welcome, 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 everybody, to Toons Up North, Nerdy Up North's cartoon show. I am your host, Jay, and I am also joined by my other host, my cartoon co-host himself, Paul. How are you doing, sir? He came close to a concussion. It was an accident, though. We weren't doing any like cartoon experiments. Well, strange accidents will happen in your home. Talking to you, Chris. Look out.
Bless him. Poor Chris. Just checking.
He does hang about a workshop all day, so he's surrounded by Final Destination like items.
To be fair though, him and Lee, like fair enough, Lee, he's a parent. He does loads of DIY. Like literally whenever he comes on the video, you see different shelves being put up, and that's all Lee doing it. But Chris is a proper good man's man. Like he does mechanical stuff, he puts things together, he welds. But he is probably the most dangerous person I would never let near a drill or a thing, because he would probably go, oh, this looks hot. Can I lick it? Yes, Chris, you are that weird.
Yes, you can. Oh, man, yeah. The yes. Man's man. We can get him the William Regal music when he next comes on the podcast.
We should get him, I'll Photoshop him in a picture of Johnny Bravo, Chris going,
oh yeah.
and hopefully he won't get cancelled, just saying.
No. Johnny didn't either, really. It was a simpler time.
Oh, we could actually do an episode about like sex pests and cartoons.
Yeah, I don't know how popular that one would be on the algorithm. it would probably be the most popular, let's face it. People like a good canceling, a good drama.
Oh, the deviants will be searching sex pest and cartoons. I can see he's now getting on the keyboards. Yeah. League One, he's doing his whole Titan thing.
I need to see Kim Possible.
Oh, no! No.
No, I was too old to watch that stuff. Yeah, also, yeah. It was Disney Channel, which we've talked about before, was paid only when we were kids. Right, so we are here not to talk about Johnny Bravo, but to talk about another Cartoon Network man. One who hasn't been cancelled yet, just at all. A Samurai Jack. A samurai wielding a magic sword, as Aku says.
Oh, I was so excited when you mentioned this as well, because one of those things that I did catch Jack when it first came out originally, but I think I was in the in-between age, because you would have been very, like, because you're the younger one, as if you don't know, Jake is the baby. You would have caught it like as a kid. I caught it almost like a teenager. So even though this was focused... But I don't think this was focused more for teenagers. This was more for an adult, for people our age to watch now.
I think, I probably caught it like early teens, I would probably say. You know, like the times when your parents are like, yeah, you can be left on your own over like summer holidays, and I would just sit in and watch cartoons all day pretty much. But yeah, it definitely does. It's like it feels like a show made by adults, designed to just be cool. And fair enough, the violence is toned down, but that doesn't really take away anything, because I feel like in movies a lot of the time, like the violence doesn't, like the gore part of it.
Yeah.
It doesn't always add anything to the fight. It's just kind of like a sort of, a spectacle, I guess, you know, like, in Kill Bill, when the blood goes everywhere, it's like cool, but it wasn't like part of the choreography. Like Samurai Jack's like all the choreography, and they just make everyone robots so he can chop them up, and they just explode afterwards.
Very interesting you said that. But you picked two very different episodes this one as well. So do you want to tell us which episodes you chose there, Jake?
Yeah, so... basically, for some of these like choices that we're doing, how I've been like approaching it in my head is like, it's gonna be the memorable episode is the one that I would pick, because it clearly had something going for it if I've like remembered it all this time after. And I think like that was what impressed me about Samurai Jack as a kid, was like whoa, you can do like an episode where almost nobody talks, or like the main character isn't here like for most of it. But yeah, the episodes I picked were Jack and the Three Blind Archers, which is like from season one. And then I picked a later one, which was The Princess and the Bounty Hunters. So if anyone wants to watch along, pause now and go have a quick look, or a slightly longer look if you're
Nice.
using the Channel 4 app and it makes you watch loads of adverts like I was using.
Oh, don't try and use a dodgy app and it gives you the wrong episode, which happened last week as well. So
Yeah.
the Sirens episode's a good one as well.
Yeah, I was gonna say like if I'd had like time, I would have probably just left this running, you know, like and watched a few more episodes. I let it autoplay. But yeah, so like what did you think of these ones as like picks? Was it any that you remembered also?
I think episodes, I'm never good with episodes memories. I remember characters, and
Okay.
I think the characters are always quite standout. Like, I know I watched The Scotsman and the Sirens. The Scotsman and the machine gun leg was just iconic throughout this show.
Oh, yeah.
Like, as you said, the bounty hunters, and the one we chose, the episode, the three blind like archers. Again, my opinion is probably the most iconic Jack episode that was done, just because
Yeah.
of how subtly done. But one thing I wanted to talk about before we start getting into the episode as well is the design wise and the aesthetics for these episodes, or for Jack as well. Because first viewing or first look, people will go, okay, it looks quite simple, but it's so not. It's
Yeah.
so detailed and everything's there for a purpose, like the shapes and everything. It's there to at times make you feel comfortable and at times to make you feel uncomfortable as well, which is quite an interesting talk, like talking point, especially for, like, say, what they call a cartoon. But this was not, as we said before, not just a normal cartoon. It was very much art house, especially with the
Yeah.
tones and the feels. Because, like, what this does well, which a lot of cartoons does, but not to the degree of Samurai Jack, is when it wants you to feel comfortable, it'll use tones that's, like, say, beautiful and relaxing. And then when it wants you to feel like nervous and like anxious and stuff, it'll use sharp edges, it'll use like really dark tones or like
Yeah,
quite
like
a
full on dark, like black color schemes. Yeah, definitely.
And then it goes from like the extremes with the characters. As I said, the Scotsman has a bloody machine gun like for his leg. But then, like say, the archers, like the design wise was so beautifully done. And
Yeah.
then, like say, their transformation at a certain point is just bizarre, but looks so interesting as well. But then you go to the as I said, the one with the all the assassins, and each assassin is designed in a way that, as you said, you've got the gentleman who's Mr. Class and like sophisticated. You've got the Siamese cats that are just like
Yeah.
act like cats, but that's like they look less sly, evilish. Then you've got the I'm sure it's Boris. It's got to be Boris, his name.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Where he's just like a brute, like force. Like I don't need all these tricks. I just go and bash, 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 bash.
Yeah.
But all those different elements are just done so well, and it takes you not just to a place of nostalgia, because I generally do feel like, and they proved it when they've done the remake, this could be remade now, and you wouldn't need to change a thing. Aesthetically or viewing wise, just because
Yeah.
everything was done pretty much timeless.
I'd say like the only thing that is slightly dated, but this is like kind of like personal opinion, but like some of the accents are maybe a bit like, you know, I can tell that's Phil Lamar. You like you could have maybe like hired a Chinese person to like do the voice for this. Or like Jack is Phil Lamar as well, who was the Green Lantern, John Stewart in our Justice League episode. But like I think that was just a product of the time. People weren't branching out as much, like for voice acting and stuff like that. It's getting a lot better now. But God, yeah, like the art style, when I was looking at it now, I didn't realize how like square like Jack's like his design is, because you think about it being very like flowy and like the animation being like super smooth, and I was like, whoa, he's like got really square hands and feet and his head obviously. So it's amazing what they can do with like a sharp kind of character design, but still make him like flow. And like Aku's kind of like the opposite of him, where he's like he's all spikes but lots of like long flowing lines, you know, like rounded. And but yeah, like they make really good use of silhouettes. I don't know why more people haven't ripped this off, unless it's too hard to rip off.
I think it would be very obvious if they did,
Yeah.
but I think with great storytelling and great way how they put that story on screen, it works so well, especially with, because the premise is very much like very generic. It's basically man out of time, basically Jack's been sent to the future, like, but how many times that's been done in comics or been done in movies, TV shows and stuff. It is a very generic and simple plot, but the fact that it's a samurai and then they create this world that is so out there crazy, because Aku has basically taken over one and basically transferring the planet into whatever he wanted to be. Or not in the planet, the universe.
Yeah, like it doesn't. Yeah, because they do talk about a different planet in one of these, and I was like, oh, okay. But it doesn't. It's a great storytelling like premise, because it allows them to do anything. Because they can be like, okay, here's some remnants of the time you guys are aware of, like the viewer. But then they can be like, but also there's just like a Star Wars like cantina here because with aliens in it, because of course we can. And it's like you don't need to know any more than that, other than to know like it's a free world and you've got like a wandering samurai who's trying to get home. And this is why I was saying it links a little bit into Dungeons and Dragons, because it has a very similar setup where like almost every episode he's doing something based on like a rumor to be like, oh, okay, I've like okay, so this first one, the Jack and the Three Blind Archers, we'll just get into it. But he's basically on a ship at the start, and he overhears a guy telling like a tall tale about how he like tried to like storm this castle because he heard you would get one wish
One
if you get
wish.
to the top of the tower. Where you actually see the battle, which I didn't remember at all. You see this like crazy like battle with all the arrows raining down on like techno Vikings, like robot army.
And that's why, because I know you said it, like it wasn't ultra violent, but Jesus Christ, this battle was. But the way they got around it, because it was robots, because there was no way if this was humans or any type of animal that had feelings and thoughts and blood, they would get away with. Because like the amount of arrows that was going into these robots, and like they weren't very well constructed robots, because every time they got shot with an arrow, they exploded. It was like that's got to be like some kind of design flaw that they didn't think about
And
there.
I love that style, 'cause how you just saw like the rain of arrows, and it wasn't like this isn't they weren't drawn it to be like realistic, because it was like, you know, very much like, you know, the arrows are coming out in a giant grid and like raining down. It was very like very cartoony, like exaggerated, but they weren't going for like super realism. And I love that they can like play in that space and not have to be like, well, arrows don't work like that. And it's like, well, these ones do. And it's like you kind of assume like, oh, well, maybe it's robots firing it, therefore it would come out in a grid pattern. Like, hopefully that's easier for them to animate and stuff like that. Because this must have been crazy to try and animate when they were like, okay, we're going to do a large scale battle with loads of different like robots and tanks and things, and there's going to be like constant arrows raining from the sky. Like the animators must have been like, oh, when they look at the
But like say, and that's what I love about cartoons. You can, as I said, with when we talk about movies and stuff like that, let's say movie magic, or you can
yeah.
dispense realms of belief, because
They used to have to fire those arrows in movies back in the
definitely. But with the cartoon, you can literally just say, right, I need 10,000 arrows to hit this one person, and then it's like, okay, I've got to draw 10,000 arrows or one, and just press Control C and V a
Hopefully.
lot.
But you're right though, because like I think that's what we've been sort of getting towards every week, where we say like there's so much freedom in cartoons. Like in a cartoon, you can draw a Viking army that will never show up ever again is like a one-off idea, because you don't have to like make the costumes, hire the actors to be inside them, but
No.
make the CGI models and then think like, well, should we reuse the CGI models? Because like, you know, we've got them on the computer now. But yeah, like,
to be fair though, when we talk about Scooby-Doo at some point, we'll be talking about reusing scenes over and over again. So that'll be a nice callback to do. So that's fine.
On the old, like, someone cranking the background along, like, hurry up, Shaggy needs to run faster. Oh. I don't actually know how it works in the studio.
It's like, quick, we need this background. To be honest, the backgrounds in Scooby-Doo is artwork to it. But again,
yeah.
That's fine. Another show, guys.
Yeah. Another show that used to be on Cartoon Network in the Boomerang Hour, which... what we had to have or whatever. We had the oldies on.
Hey, weren't that old. But yes. But yeah.
Like this one, like I love the premise. It's very like Dungeons and Dragons, like overhearing a guy in a tavern, like telling some crazy story. And then like Jack's like, is that story true? And he's like, aye, it's out there. Like, you know, he points out the window, like that's the island. And Jack's just immediately on a boat, like just like believing what this guy says. But that's all he's got to go on.
One thing I wanted to touch on as well, this is what I love about this cartoon as well, because it's meant to be set like thousands of years in the future where technology has moved, where you can have a fucking Viking army. The boat that they're sailing on is an old-fashioned Viking boat. It's like, because technology moved on so much that they went back to use Viking boats. But
I think it's like, I always interpret it as like a sort of cultural apocalypse where it's like, we're going to use the Viking boat in this area of the world because everything's been destroyed. We're just going to like salvage like bits and pieces and stuff like that. Because like this guy's, you presume maybe this was this guy's ship at one point, but now he's just swabbing the deck and like trying to talk to the annoy the patrons like while they're having the drinks.
Get out of the chair. Get out of the chair. Get mop on the floor, you little bastard.
Yes, yes. Because like you think he's like the leader at first, but he's just like sat in the captain's chair for a bit.
Amazing. One thing I did laugh at as well, like I proper like belly laughed at when I watched it, is when Jack gets on his little boat to go in. It's a like little speedboat, but then it's got like some weird Viking thing at the front. It's like aesthetically everything's like looks like it should just be a normal boat, but then why put this most obscure weird thing at the front that just
like
looks
dragon head?
But it wasn't even a nice dragon head. It looked like about it would topside the boat as well. So I was like, Jack, that doesn't make sense, Jack. You know better. Yeah. You would have chopped that off and went straight in there.
It's like it's a very cool character trope where he kind of just rolls with everything. Because it's kind of like what they were doing with Mandalorian and stuff, wasn't it? Where it was like, oh, you've got your wandering samurai. I mean, basically, like that is Wolf and Cub. Now that I've done some digging in when we were watching this, but yeah, like when you said like, oh, the art, like the artistry and like the art house nature, like how it shines in this, it does make you feel a bit like retroactively, like, oh, okay, so I see what they were trying to do in Star Wars, but they didn't quite hit the note as good as they did in this. No. Cartoon from like decades ago. Like I say, more people need to rip this off.
Definitely. What did you think of the look of the blind archers as well? Because initially they were quite striking.
Yeah, and so like they're all like we've gone Vikings, and then we almost get this kind of like Egyptian style bad guy, don't we? Standing at the top of a typically English style.
Like a turret, shall we say.
Yeah, like a castle tower, like the kind you would shove a princess in Shrek.
Rapunzel, let down your hair.
But yeah, I love how they're like this really strong silhouette with like the ears. I mean, obviously from the episode title, we know that they're blind, but at first, Jack has no idea. No. About the archers, although that he knows there's like crazy good archers there because the guy told him. But yeah, it's like literally as soon as he steps foot out of the tree line, it's like the arrows just come sailing in, and he's like, "What?"
And they do it in a way which is so playful as well, because when the robots come in, they just get shot all over, they die. When Jack comes in, they shoot between his toes. It's just like,
yes,
it's like almost like a warning. It's like, okay,
they give him one warning. Yeah.
So then when he starts like trying to go forward again, they unload from him, and it's absolutely hilarious. And this is where we find out how much of a badass Jack is as well with that sword, because even though it's something as simple, like he's getting pinned up against a tree with arrows, and there's an arrow coming straight for him, and you're like, shit, how's he going to get out of this? His arms are stuck and everything, and he just flicks the sword, like in the coolest move in the world. Yeah. And the sword flies up in the middle and splits the arrow in two. It's like, and Jack doesn't even blink. That's how we know Jack got this.
Yeah, it's a very cool move, and then he gets to safety, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
But that kind of slow motion stuff, like he used to do that a lot, because this is like Genndy Tartakovsky.
Mm-hmm.
He used to do like the Dexter's Lab stuff and that, and he made like liberal use of slow motion there, but it was for more like comedy effect. And then this is like he gets to do the whole like super cool samurai moves in slow motion, which we all love to see. And we even get that classic like Jack meditating under the waterfall, don't we, to try and think about how he can get past this, because like at first he doesn't know anything about it being like sound based, until he like drops his hat, doesn't he? He waves his hat out and nothing happens. And then he figures it out because he drops it on the ground, and then when it makes a noise, then they shoot.
Then we find out that Jack's got supervision as well, because he uses these telescopic eyes to zoom in on the archers and look on in their eyes and sort of go, okay, they're blind. So that's where Jack goes all super speed. Then we get a nice little flashback as well. So we get back a flashback of Jack in his training being blindfolded, and goes, what's the point in fighting, Sensei, when I can't see? I need to be able to see to fight. And the sensei goes all wise and wonderful on him and says, yes, you need to use all your senses to be a master. And then that's when we get the under the waterfall shot where we get sexy Jack, so we see it. When he goes in, he's like little tidy whities.
He's a bit like a sumo wrestler kind of dress, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
I love that Jack's basically Batman as well, how he's like trained in all of the martial arts styles all around the world, like Batman.
One thing I do want to say, I thought this episode done was absolutely brilliantly, and I have to say that I don't think I've seen it done as well in any other episode, is when Jack puts the blindfold on, because he's made the decision he's going to go like fight the archers the same way as they're fighting him without using his vision. And rather than you just seeing them blindfold and going off doing the things, as soon as he puts the blindfold, you as an audience member, the screen goes black. So you can't see anything, and so you're put in the same position as what Jack is in as well. And that was just an interesting take. And then you slowly see the things that Jack starts to hear, like the deer starts kneeling at the grass to get the grass out, the birds tweeting in the tree, and then the snow melting and dripping. And then you saw Jack say, I think he said, I'm ready now, or something like that.
He does. But like that was the part that always stuck in my memory, like when I thought about Samurai Jack, it's not long before I think about that part with like the deer like scraping the food out, like the grass from under the snow, and you kind of like see parts of it, don't you, like it's kind of like it's coming into focus, like the white comes in, because it's like obviously very stark white on like the black background. But yeah, that is so brave for them to do, to be like, we're just going to completely black the screen out in the middle of this episode, like there's still sound, but like that's a bold move, because cartoons are usually, there's something flying around on screen at all times to keep the focus.
Yeah, imagine being a child, like again, not saying all children, like let's say back in the day they've got been given a bag of Smarties, all the E numbers in the world, so they're energized, buzzy to the fuck, and sat down in front of this and that happened. It's going to be an interesting take. So that's why, as I said, I think when this came out on Cartoon Network, it was part of the Adult Hour, so it was part of like the later on shows.
Yeah,
that used to like come out.
Toonami.
Yeah. But yeah, just absolutely brilliant storytelling, and I love that aspect. And then when it goes into the whole like Jack confrontation, you hear him doing steps in the snow. So then you see the archers lining up their bows, but again, it counteracts that. You hear Jack hearing the boars, hearing the arrows fly through the air. So then he goes all get the flash mode and starts zooming through the snow, being chased by the line of the arrows. But again, if we go back to the robot army, why wasn't there the sky full of arrows if they were that worried about Jack getting there? But
yeah, it's because it is sort of, they do sort of explain some of it as in like, oh well, the tower is like positioned so that you're like looking into the sunlight, so like this way Jack can hear, like he can hear them more than he could actually see them. But yeah, I think he just gets like plot armor for this bit, and he's like, I can dodge them all, and I think it flusters them, because we do find out that they're not actually robotic, but they're presented in a very robotic way, like the way the sort of ears twitch and things like that. But yeah, then he just like Macho Man climbs up the side of the the castle.
Then he appears in his tidy whiteys on the top of the castle as well.
Yes.
Then we get an ultimate cool guy shot, because we knew it was going to come.
Oh God, yes!
It's a great shot. All three of the archers fire at the same time. Arrows are going in the exact same trajectory. That's it, right? Trajectory.
Yeah.
Jack stays so cool, doesn't move to the last minute. Does the ultimate train dodge if you watch Stand By Me? And then the arrows kind of. This is where it kind of lost me a little bit, because the arrows look like they're going to hit each other, but then all of a sudden they're in each of the other archers' chests. I was like,
yeah, I think my first impression, because I was thinking like, oh, are they all going to miss each other and go straight on?
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe what they were trying to go for was that they all deflected off each other and went like it went in opposite directions, sort of thing.
Yeah.
You're right. That part could have been maybe a bit more clear. Mm-hmm. Other than, like, you know, we all knew something. He was going to take them all out. It was time.
It's a minor little note that otherwise is a perfect episode, I'll be honest with you. It's the only thing that does leave a little bit confusion-wise. But then you think the archers are going to be dead, but they don't. The kind of the black cover, the ooze,
the goo
like kind of like forms off them. And they become little Buddhas. It looks
but with like really long necks and like a little head on top,
which was a bizarre choice. I'll give them it. But like I said, I think with the design for a lot of the creatures and people, they always went interesting.
They're always different. Yeah.
And then like I say, because the reason why everyone wants to get this well is because it grants one wish for your heart's desires, and as we all know, Jack's desire is to get home and to stop our coup, get back to his family. And then, like I say, so Jack's defeated the archers, and they give him permission, say, the well is yours, you can go and make your wish.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, though, because they look a bit sort of, like wary about it, but they don't say anything, like, up front. They let him, like, approach first.
Mm-hmm.
And then the well, like talks to him and is like, wish you, like, want sort of thing.
Being and all then, sinister and shit.
the well... Black goo, it's definitely that's not who you trust for your wishes, everyone at home, if you ever get a chance.
So Chris, if you're watching, I'm watching looking at you, Chris. I'm looking in your eyes, looking in your dead eyes, Chris. If you go to a well and there's black goo, don't wish, Chris. Please don't wish.
You want angelic light if you're gonna make a wish.
you need to go to a fairground, unplug the Zoltar machine, and ask to be big, Chris. That's what you need.
Oh, but was he evil though? Zoltar. It was bit of a tainted wish, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, like a monkey's foot.
I don't know. He got laid, so that's all good for the game.
He was neutral. He's a.
But yes, I've just made that all more creepy than it needed to be. So that sorry, yeah.
It was creepy. And I would never buy one of those prop ones because they're too scary. But yeah, like so. Then the guys kind of like have a little bit of a conscience, and they kind of like. Like don't make this wish, it'll give you what you want, but it'll also want you as like a bodyguard in return,
because
it turns out that's kind of like, it doesn't really tell. Did they wish for like unmatched combat prowess or something like that?
The ultimate hunters, I think there was.
So they
become the ultimate hunters, but the premise is they could never leave the tower, so
they were basically there to protect the well, effectively
the goo of doom.
Like I loved it how like angry Jack gets at this moment, because it kind of like took me off guard. But when you think about it, like that's episode 7, so he's probably had like 3 or 4 different moments of thinking. He's like finished his quest, and he just like goes like full on rage and like stabs down into the puddle of goo. And as we said at the start, he does have a magic sword. They never really explain much more than that, but it's like the Zelda sword. It the sword that vanquishes evil.
It's one of them things when it comes to like magic swords, it's like every samurai folklore or something that is that based on there's a magic sword that can
Yeah,
take down the ultimate evil type thing.
or it's like, or the opposite, where it's a cursed sword that is like, you know, once it sheds blood, it won't let you stop, sort of thing. We love a good sword legend.
Yes. But yeah, so then the goo disappears, and with Jack and how, like, say, most of the episode ends,
Oh, yeah.
it kind of just stops there. And I quite like that. So it doesn't like go lead in, say, where these three weird guys were going to do next or what they were going to do.
They're just left to
We don't need to know that because, as you said, Jack's vanquished the evil well of doom, the black goo of not fulfilling wishes completely. So Jack's
it.
done good, but again, he has to go on his mission and try and find of another way how to get home. Because it's not easy going
Yeah.
back in time.
And he's like, he's always, as far as we know, he's always just a wanderer. Like he never settles down anywhere.
No.
And like I say, it's an amazing storytelling premise, because you can be like, he can go anywhere, and he's never trapped at a base. You don't have to write around that. It's like, no, he's just in a different place. But I'll tell you where he's not in this next episode very much. Because
What we do get though when we get Jack in, it is perfect,
Oh,
Jack.
it's excellent. It's like legendary. Like if you showed someone just that clip alone, they would just be like, hell yeah, I want to watch more, even without the context. But the lead up makes it better.
I'll just
So
give you a
we
quick brief because when you think about this shouldn't work, this episode in a way, because
no yeah
the premise is it starts in a barber shop with the weirdest looking barber in the world
Oh, I love that guy though. He's so good.
just randomly cutting someone's hair, and then all the world's best assassins are just walking past his window and he's going, wow, there's this guy, wow, and each time taking a slice of hair off some unsuspecting customer.
He like slips with the razor every time something surprising happens.
And then there's a bounty, like the bounty's on Jack, we'll find out, and then all these
Yes.
amazing bounty hunters go in this little cavern and they all talk about how they're going to defeat Jack, and in
Yes.
this weird and like very a lot of them are very basic ways. I'm like, all right, then you're the world's best assassin.
Yeah.
But then, like I say, we get the main story, like the come together. But the whole thing shouldn't really work as a whole when it comes together because it's very simple but ludicrous at the same time. Like having all
Yeah.
these weird and wonderful characters together, but it's just so much fun. It is one
And
like I didn't remember this episode when you mentioned it,
yeah.
and when I watched it now, I was like, this is just absolutely brilliant. I loved the
Yeah.
kind of like interactions between each of them and how they kind of try to one up each other as well.
And they do it all in 20 minutes. Like,
Yes.
let's not forget that. But no, I absolutely love like the barbershop. That's such a good idea to like set up a story, because like obviously the barber's like the town gossip. But this guy apparently knows all of the bounty hunters, probably because of, like we said, it's post-apocalypse, so there's like warring factions, and you know,
These are the
like that
stars
could,
of the time. They don't watch TV. They just go out and
yeah.
slaughter the innocent and get money for it.
But like we said, he's like buzz cutting this guy's head, and like you can see him taking chunks out of the guy's hair. So we get a few. We get a sort of like a Dhalsim character, you know, like a snake charmer guy. We get the gentleman who's like a fancy. I was assuming he was going to be English, but they actually go for a southern gentleman, like which is an interesting touch.
Oh, like Val Kilmer out of Tombstone. I'll be your
Yeah,
Huckleberry.
definitely. And then, like you mentioned before, we get the Siamese twins from Aristocats, like coming in.
And they act like cats in every single way as well. Though. Yep. Like one even rolls around on the floor and curls into a ball and stuff like that.
Was there anyone else?
Yeah, there was. So there was the Aristocats. Then you got Big Boris.
Oh yeah. So that's the little secret reveal. Oh yeah. So yeah, basically it turns out that he's been cutting the hair of a different, like, massively famous bounty hunter. And what I love about it though is because the cliche thing to do would be to have Boris, like, you know, smash the guy, like, you know, break the barbershop because he, like, messed up his hair. But all he does is stand up and put his hat on. He's just like, right, I'm going to go on with my day. This was a utility haircut. This is not a style thing.
But the barber faints, though, I think. So he does pass out, yeah. And then, like I say, he walks out. We see the one that the door nobody knows. Go, oh, that looks like a robot guy, and it looks quite cool. Yeah. But then when they're in the house, like, the plans are just fucking... Like, I'm not going to lie, the plans are fucking awful.
Yes, but I love how it's like, you touched on this before, how, like, they mix so many art styles and, like, techniques together.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, for this one, when all of the separate bounty hunters are kind of, like, talking about how what they would do to Jack,
mm-hmm.
you get it in, like, a different art style that matches each one's sort of, like character. You know, like, the Gentleman's is like an old, like cowboy movie style, like with, like, the letterbox and everything.
and again, because I know you mentioned before, like, you don't know why other things didn't rip off this. After watching this episode, I'm going to write a letter to Quentin Tarantino. Hateful Eight has been directly ripped off from this cartoon. I'm sorry. He turned a 20-minute cartoon into a 5-hour film. So
because last week when I mentioned this episode, I did say it was like a Hateful Eight thing. But it is actually a Wolf and Cub comic book adaptation. It's obviously not exactly the same, but it's that very much same story of, like, people in, like, a snowy cabin who really want the wolf and cub dead, or, you know, steal the baby. It's always about, like, wolf and cub's a samurai and a baby carriage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like what Mandalorian was doing, basically.
Pretty much, yes.
But it's that same thing where he slowly comes up the path and stuff at the end, and everyone rushes him, but he just, like, destroys everyone. But it's awesome to see that stuff, because this show is very referential. Mm-hmm. There's so many direct references to Star Wars alone.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be more to samurai movies that I'm not even aware of. But it's all done with that kind of, like, massive love, like, which you can tell. So we get a little bit of a, like, all the people are arguing. Boris is the one who's the least happy to work together. And I love how he's like, how they do those little arguments back and forth where he's just like, you better, like, I will, you better. Like, he just keeps repeating things to try and get the last word.
And again, this is where, one of the episodes when I watched, and this, because again, not knowing too much about the lore of Samurai Jack to the degree where I would say I know it inside out, I know a little bit. Yeah. This is where it opened my eyes a little bit, just by, like, throwing away little lines, like the princess reveal, like the robot guy turns into be a princess, and she's like one of the best, like, assassins there. She comes up with an idea.
She's above all of them, for sure, yeah.
She comes up with the idea for everyone teaming up to maybe have a chance to defeat Jack. That was, like, say, the way they were going to plan it out. But her little turn, it's like, she's not doing it because of the money. She's doing it because her planet has been enslaved. So not town or city, planet. So that kind of threw me. I was like, okay, so fair enough. Yes, I knew there was weird looking people, but now there's aliens involved in this now, which is great. And Haku's, as I said, he's not just taking over, like I said, the planet that they're on is taking over multiple planets and taking it further than basically what we...
Yeah, or it's like he hasn't destroyed things. He's like, he's ruled it as an evil emperor, but has actually kept things moving, like, you know, opened up hyperspace shipping lanes apparently to the different planets, and, you know, everyone's sort of like a melting pot on Earth now, a bit more like Shao Kahn actually with Outworld, where he's like merged all the realms into one, like, crazy town.
So we're gonna have Mortal Kombat all over again with Samurai Jack. I'd watch that.
I'm sure there's like a scorpion, like, you know, guy that he fights. There's got to be some Mortal Kombat references somewhere.
Get over here.
But yeah, like, so it's revealed that they've been hired to go to this cabin, not for a mark or to find Jack, but to work together in like a deadly alliance.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so everyone tells the plan and she's like, that's like, that would never work. Like Jack would, like, you know, that Jack would predict that's what you are doing. And he'd just, like, you know, see through it and like, you'd be dead. And like you said earlier, when you were like, Boris's is like in like crayon drawings and he's like, I don't need plan. He would break sword on my belly that I would smash.
and then everyone smash.
And everyone's just like silent. And he's just like, yeah.
How stupid are you? Yes.
and then we get the excellent scene, which is another one that's stuck in my memory, where it's like it's all just silent and everyone's just waiting for Jack to show up.
Mm-hmm.
And you're getting them do things like clean the weapons, and like the cat sleeping like in the corner. But then you see the princess and she's doing one of the most badass things where she's like to melt and then chopping it with a sword and then putting it back in the sheath.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone kind of hears this and kind of like goes around the corner and they're just like, oh, ooh, like that's the skill level we're sort of working with here.
And I like how they made the princess quite a sympathetic character as well.
But she's never like a harsh, like, badass throughout the whole thing, because she like kicks Boris's ass a couple of times when he mouths off. Mm-hmm. She definitely flips him over at least a few times. But yeah, like, it's not your typical like princess reveal, like, you know, where she's like in distress. Like, she's clearly very capable. But not strong enough like to beat Aku or doesn't have enough allies and stuff. So it is quite tragic. Which, like I say, for doing this in 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's freaking amazing. Like, introducing us to like five new characters we're supposed to care about, and we do end up caring about them in some form.
But that's just as we said before, like, good writing, good knowing like what you've got and having the confidence in it as well to not kind of like shove too much down or rush certain things, because a lot of this episode is just silence or one of the great scenes, again, I know we talked about like the scenes in the last one where it's darkness. This one is done a little bit more differently, where they've created a trap and they've put little burrows in. And then, because they say Jack's on the way, and what they could have done is like just hidden the thing and have Jack come over the hill. But they didn't. They give it about 2 or 3 minutes. Like, again, when you're watching a cartoon that's 20 minutes long, that feels like a lifetime. And Jack's like, you don't even see him, and you just keep seeing the eyes like creaking. You keep going back to them, and you keep thinking you're going to see him, and then you just see a tiny little thing like a dot, and you think, oh, it's a Jack. And again, the slow plays it well, to the point where Jack's there, and you're like, oh shit, it is Jack. Oh, it's all going to go down, and you think, oh, it's going to be some amazing like fight that's going to last for like half an hour. Or if it was One Piece, a fight that would last 15 episodes and five sagas.
But then you see like the sort of the framing for the whole thing. You see like a water drop, like just start to fall off the cabin, like the one she was chopping. And then as soon as it like drops off, like leaves the sort of overhang, they all like spring out, you know, like out of the holes, ready to like attack all at once. But yeah, Jack, like a badass, just dispatches with them in a ridiculously like a ridiculously flashy like sequence, where like whenever he makes like a big move, it's like a full-on like black silhouette, isn't it, with like it's all like blown out, like as if it's like paint or something. Or like, you know, massive like shining light. Like, they just can't even fathom his moves at this stage.
And like, it takes you as an audience member like so out of like, even you're like shocked. You're like, oh shit, like fuck, what like, wow. And it's the movement that Jack does, and it's almost like he's not breaking his stride, because he's just continuing on his journey, and he takes them all out. And the princess is kind of like left last one. Start well.
Ooh, but also, what I was kind of setting up before, he takes them all out, and then as soon as like the last hit is done, and I think he like, yeah, that's what happens. He the cat guy like drops all the bombs from the sky, and he just like goes like like catches them all, and then like throws them at Boris, and he explodes. And then you see the drop of water hit the ground, and you're like, ah, he did all that in less than like 1 second, like type of thing. In the time it took for the drop of water to fall off the house, like and hit the ground, like he took them all out.
He dispatched these world's best assassins, or the universe's best assassins.
And he's just walking. Yeah. Like, he's like turned his back. He hasn't even like looked to check. It's like, it's just, that's pure samurai, like filmmaking to me.
No, and as you said, it's perfect done, because he doesn't look back. And no. I think he stops. He stops walking when she pulls out the dagger, like she's going to attack. And then the realization from her, I don't know if it's a, like, say, a down or a respect, or just the fact that she's given up, like, hope of even getting near to Jack, that she drops the dagger.
Or like an exhaustion thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because he smashes her face in, doesn't he? Like punches through her mask.
Destroys you, robot. This is you gone.
But yeah, it's like a really sort of bittersweet ending, because she does just drop the dagger and then fall to her knees, and then you just see like the silhouette of Jack, like with his little snow footprints, wandering off again into the next sunset.
to the next battle, or the next thing.
It's just so cool. It's all that build up as well for like, you know, a few seconds maybe, but they make it worth it. I think, like, because a lot of times now you see a lot of chatter about shows as like a value proposition, where they're like, oh, you know, like when Game of Thrones was like really big, like a couple seasons before the end, like, you know, there was like, oh, this episode is the full Battle of the Bastards, and it's going to be an entire like war in one episode. And it's kind of the same thing with like Lord of the Rings, where people were like, oh, you know, the Helm's Deep battle is like 1.5 hours long. That's value for nerd money. And this is very much like, no, you're not going to see Jack for like only for like the last minute of the episode, maybe. And he's going to do one really big thing, and then he's going to be gone, and you're going to be like looking at the credits. But there's so much value in that, like this, like a really interesting setup.
It's about patience as well, and having the conviction to go through with it as well. Not saying big battles or big story, like thing, like big set pieces aren't great.
Yeah,
but sometimes just like the small things or the anticipation is the kind of thing that gets you to the next bit of the story, because I bet you anyone who watches that episode, like you, I can tell in your face, you would have been clamoring just to watch the next episode, just to see more and what happens, because it leaves you like so, like, and again, I know why they re-brought it back, because like say when the season finished, we never got like really an ending for this show, so
yeah.
So kind of like giving it.
There's there was one episode I remember. I have not watched the reboot, I guess you may maybe call it the continuation. And I don't know if it's just because I have like such high memories of it, and I don't want to like change anything in my own mind. I think I'll search it out now maybe and check it out. But I do remember an episode where you got like a flash forward of like old Jack with like long hair and like a white beard and stuff, like, and more muscly. And I really liked that when I first saw it, because I was like, oh, that's kind of bittersweet, because like on one hand he looks like a massive badass, and like you think in your mind you're building this picture of like what is like, so Jack just like fights forever and gets to be this like warrior king. But then I thought about it a bit more, and I'm like, oh, but does that mean he never gets home then, because he has to like keep on battling? And I kind of don't want to know in a weird way, but I think I will watch it, because I'd love to see how it's different.
No, I get that. I think with, as you said, the cartoon that we watched last week, Dungeons and Dragons, everyone wanted to know that to these kids.
I did want to see that one.
with this, it's kind of like sometimes like it's nice to think, yes, Jack got home, But then other times it's like thinking, no, long as Jack's okay and living in the world and fighting evil and fighting baddies, I'm okay with that as well. So
Or like you just assume he will at some point, and it's like you're not worried about him.
No.
Whereas those kids, you're like kind of worried about them, because like living in Dungeons and Dragons didn't seem fun at all.
No.
But Jack is like, you know, he's a hero. You'd feel safe around him. I think he can look after himself.
I do think like he probably is. I think he is getting more credit now, but he probably was the most uninstated like cartoon of its time. It's so deep. It's so there's so many layers to it as well. But one of the best, like say, like well, I wouldn't say best. The one of the most earworms in like intros as well. The bam 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 bam.
Yeah, like I say, not always the most like by today's standards culturally sensitive things like about like how they were just like sort of using all the tropes, but it's done so lovingly.
It's more of a homage than a piss take, shall we say.
Definitely. I mean, there's definitely going to be some silly characters, like silly voices, but it's that to me, that feels more like the Cartoon Network side of it coming in, where you're like, oh, we need some silly characters for it. Like the guy who writes and like works on this stuff clearly loves very silly stuff and cool stuff. Because if you ever watched like Dexter's Lab, it was like, it was half and half, because it'd be like, oh, Dexter builds a mech robot, but then it would be like very silly, like the next moment, like, he loves to do that snap back between like something cool looking and then something really stupid.
Definitely. And I think, did they do Powerpuff Girls as well?
I'm not 100% sure if it was the same people, but I'm guessing like those are your colleagues, aren't there, at the end of the day. So people are going to learn from each other if they're all in the Cartoon Network company. But I love Powerpuff Girls. That was a very similar thing where it had its like serious moments, and then other times it was just a full on like stupid kid show. But you'd get just full on superhero episodes, and it's like, as a kid who wasn't like didn't have loads of money to buy comics, I was just getting my superhero stuff from this like cartoons.
Definitely, I think probably in the early 90s, kids like especially. With some of the cartoons that they got, probably don't know, or we didn't realize how lucky we were with some of the stories and some of the things that did come out around about that time.
I think it's very few and far between now, where you'll get like one standout Netflix show a year where you're like, this is a really good animated show. Do you know this guy did Clone Wars as well? Like the drawn animated Clone Wars.
I can see that though. I can see it now you've mentioned it though. Like say with the way
you could translate lightsabers and stuff to this kind of combat.
Yeah.
There's some really cool episodes, but I think it's like non-canon now officially because of the new Clone Wars stuff.
Right.
And I see them, like I say, I see them do it, trying to do this stuff where they're trying to do like the samurai like homages, and they're just not hitting it as well. As they did back here, like, no. Come on, guys, just rip it off! Like sure,
just don't take it too seriously. But I think that's what Star Wars has become now, just too serious. It needs to become back to the fun aspect.
I do like Acolyte. I know I haven't been on any shows to talk about it, but Acolyte has some of this, like you know, like samurai or like Crouching Tiger style action in it. It's been very refreshing. But it's very much like a young adult type of show, you know, like like The Flash and Arrow,
right?
Like not as lighthearted, but that kind of dialogue and story. Like you're not going to see, it's not Andor, but it's also not the prequels. It's like somewhere it's in between.
Yeah.
But I'm liking it so far. I'm going to go watch the last episode shortly, probably. I want to see how it finishes.
But definitely, I do think like, in the future as well, I wouldn't mind coming back to Jack. Just to
if we can find some more like standouts.
Definitely, just because I think he's got a lot of weight, and it's just, as I said,
a lot of different genres. Because like there was very little sci-fi in this, but there is complete sci-fi episodes of Samurai Jack. which in which you're getting man from the past versus the future, literally.
Definitely. So again, I think that's quite a nice way to wrap up a Jack
It,
there. A
yeah.
man from the past fighting the future. That's where we
Yeah.
always will be. That's where I feel
The
like
bad
now.
future.
The man from the 80s fighting the 90s. But yeah.
No, we
So
work together. We're allies.
come together like two. It'll be Grease 2 for you there. But yes, so we next week we've got an announcement to make.
It's a special situation this next
Yeah.
time, isn't
So it's not going to be a two-way. We've got a three-way next week. We've got a
it?
special guest, the podcast queen herself, the lady that has been on every single podcast other than Trek so far. But I think she's going to be making an appearance on there soon as well. Yes, we have the beautiful, the wonderful, the effervescent Sammy.
Your favorite
Yes.
podcaster and
So Sammy
mine.
is coming on.
Is she getting on all the podcasts? Because I said that getting Sammy on legitimizes your podcast
Possibly,
the other day.
possibly. I think
She's the
she hasn't been on gaming yet as well, I don't think. So that's something that you
No,
need to
but
reach.
she has graced our Twitch channel
Yes.
a few times.
So we need to get her and Adam to talk about pork, chimp, and gravy. So that.
And now it sounds like you're saying a line from Cow and Chicken. That was pork butts and taters.
Mama had a cow. Papa had a
Now
chicken.
that's a fucked up show.
Oh, we'd always do cat dog as well. That was always confusing as
I
well.
liked Cat Dog.
But yes, so we are doing and we were going to do another episode, but we let the Nerdy Up North community decide,
We
and
did.
because we were expecting to choose the real Ghostbusters, but they didn't.
Yeah.
So we're going to the raccoons.
Yeah, is it called the raccoons or raccoons?
It's the raccoons, I believe.
Okay. Okay.
We're going to be talking about the pilot episode, so we'll do the first episode to keep it clean, squeaky and clean. But to be honest, I do think we'll spend most of the time just talking about two things: Bert Raccoon and the intro, because the intro is legendary when it comes to the raccoons. Like I say.
So in my mind, I'm not recalling a lot of raccoons knowledge because I think it got lost in the shuffle of like raccoons, gummy bears, the snorks, like of like the something, like it's an animal team or something. Blinky Bill, that was another
To be fair though, the raccoons is just wholesome shit.
Okay.
It's basically the raccoons are basically nature and loving, like wanting to keep everything green and stuff. And then you get Cyril Sneer, who's like a weird
Okay.
pink aardvark type creature.
Yes, he smokes the cigar. Yep.
Yeah, and he's
It's
all
coming back to
industry
me.
and wanting to basically be money and stuff like that. And they're kind of like sons of friends of the raccoons, and there's all these intertwining relationships where it's coming. But in essence, it's very wholesome, it's very fun, it's very nostalgic. And after that, after we watch it, I bet everyone goes away with a nice little warm feeling in their tummy, and we'll get Sammy to perv out over a raccoon.
Oh, it sounds fun. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that's probably on YouTube
Hopefully,
in some
we'll try and find it somehow. Some way we'll
Yeah,
bring it to
we'll watch the same thing and we'll share the link in the Nerdy Up North Discord.
you.
And if you join our Facebook group, we'll tell you how to get in the Discord because the link changes all the time, so we can't just share it under the video. I'm
Yes,
sorry.
that's fine.
It
But yes,
expires.
it does expire. I think it's still in the link somewhere. But
Yeah.
yes, join us. As I said, everything that we do, we've got that much things going on. We've got a lot of plans coming forward as well. It's exciting times for the Nerdy Up North team and the Nerdy Up North community. Get involved, be part of us, be part of the
Oh, yeah.
nerd cult that is bringing people together. And like I say, we want to have our first nerd baby sometime, so that can be quite interesting. See if we can make
But
that happen.
we've said it before as well, like almost everyone who's came on these shows and became like faces of the community started out in the community. So if you like what we do and you think you can help us, like get involved. Like it's all good fun. And thanks to anyone who's listened and downloaded. I know we had a few secret audio
that
downloads.
Scared the fuck out of me. I'm not gonna lie, like I just uploaded and I'm like, right, I'm getting everything set up, then I went back in and checked and we've got 10 people download an episode.
It's
I was
people
like,
looking for the Snyder cut, I'm telling you.
Take what?
Wrong Justice League.
Take it with her. I haven't advertised this. I don't even think I've advertised it yet, but there's people still downloading. But so that just means
people
like listening about cartoons.
I think they do. Or it was like Russian bot sites downloading our episodes to like steal them, like for the ever growing content mill.
Yes. So, Boris is coming after us now. Yeah, sorry.
I couldn't not mention it because it's just popped back into my head. But also, Boris did a hawk tour in the episode, but he said Badui or something.
Badui.
I think it said in the subtitles. But I had to laugh, like that damn girl has ruined the minds of the internet.
I'm trying my best to keep Hawk 2 out of Nerdy Up North. But no,
okay.
Jake's done it, well, Goodwill's done it, damn you all.
I blame Boris.
Boris, you Hawk 2 and Manspot.
Do we?
And I think that'll be a good time to say, in the immortal words of Porky Pig, that's all, folks.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, nerds.